this morning. Turn to the letter of Paul to Philemon. Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do that which is proper, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, Onesimus, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. And I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart, whom I wished to keep with me, that in your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything, that your goodness should not be, as it were, by compulsion, but of your own free will. For perhaps he was for this reason parted from you for a while, that you should have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you regard me a partner, accept him as you would me. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it, lest I should mention to you that you owe to me even your own self as well. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. And at the same time also prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I shall be given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I hope that you'll find that as we look at this matter this morning, that you'll see I was very greatly blessed last week with Greg's message and how everything flows together. And so hopefully that will be evident as well. Philemon 4 through 7. So Philemon verses 4 through 7. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. In this letter, the Apostle Paul is writing to Philemon to convey his heart concerning Onesimus, Philemon's slave, who had apparently escaped and then become a Christian and had served Paul in his imprisonment. The heart of the Apostle Paul is laid forth with regard to how to look at our fellow brothers in Christ, whether they are masters or servants. There is very much in this short letter to commend to us in our treatment and consideration of one another in service to the Lord. The key that I would like to prayerfully undertake this morning, however, is a very subtle statement of the Apostle Paul that has great consequences in our fellowship together. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. There is an inherent aspect in fellowship that we dare not overlook, especially as we proceed forth together in Christ Jesus. Lord willing, we will see that there is a tremendous burden that is set upon us as the church to think of one another only in Him, in His love. We hear the voice of God in the Old Testament as He puts the fellowship of the people of God high in the order of our consideration. We hear a number of the apostles calling forth against anything other than love for the brethren. Sadly, there is something currently at work that must be defeated in the mindset of the church. That is what we seek after the Holy Spirit to uncover and to eliminate in the dealing of God's heart for His people. There should be established the very purity of His heart of love in our hearts, one for each other. In Psalms 119, 63 through 65, we read, I am a companion of all those who fear Thee, and of those who keep Thy precepts. The earth is full of Thy loving kindness, O Lord. Teach me Thy statutes. Thou hast dealt well with Thy servant, O Lord, according to Thy word. There should be a companionship together in the fear and in obedience to the Lord. We should find ourselves being drawn to fellow Christians, encouraging one another in our reverence unto God and our obedience before Him. There should be a commitment together to honor and to glorify Him whose name is holy and righteous. As we dwell together in the light of His grace and His mercy and His loving kindness, so should our hearts be disposed to one another. This should be characteristic of how we think of one another. It's real easy to get together and to act in one way. But what goes on within our hearts as we think of one another? Do we treat each other in our hearts in grace and mercy and loving kindness? Or do we think of each other as less than fellow sharers of Christ's grace? Do we elevate ourselves above those of others around us in our hearts? As that is the case, as we are disposed toward one another in God's loving kindness, there is a heart response from God. He joins Himself to us. There is a divine reaction when His people are in fellowship with each other in Him. Malachi 3:16 through 4:2. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem His name. And they will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff, and the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. Sadly, many of us miss this revelation of God's heart because we refuse to enter into complete and full corporate worship. We shun God because we shun His saints. We get caught up in the idiosyncrasies and the personality conflicts and never give one another the opportunity to engage with us in full fellowship. We are disgruntled and dissatisfied with the people to whom God has joined us. We audaciously look for better churches with better and more suitable Christian members. However more suitable they may seem to us, in that audacity, we reject the perfectly suited brothers and sisters that God has chosen for us. 1 Peter 1:22 and 23. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding Word of God. It is in fellowship with the saints that we find the Lord meeting our direst needs. Many of us have it backwards. Many of us think that we'll find our needs met by ourselves when we get alone with the Lord. But it's when we come into fellowship that we meet Him face to face. Consider for the moment the passage that we have in Luke 24, 13 through 15. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were conversing with each other about all these things which had taken place. And it came about that while they were conversing and discussing, Jesus Himself approached and began traveling with them. These were disciples of Jesus who were together facing the dilemma of the past days. Their friend and teacher, Jesus of Nazareth, had been brutally tortured and crucified. Now there were rumors of His resurrection. They were in shock and disbelief. But they were together discussing and reasoning with each other as to what had taken place, seeking to discover the truth together, the answer to their disappointment and to their dismay. It was as they were together facing the uncertainty of how to proceed that Jesus came into their midst. And He revealed Himself. He caused them to rejoice and to doubt no more. This is an inherent treasure in fellowship. As the Lord Himself tells us in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three have gathered together in My name, there I am in their midst." This is a treasure of fellowship. This is why we gather together. because we seek Him to be there. We seek Him to guide us. We seek Him to show that which would please the heart of God. It is in our fellowship, in our gathering together in His name, that we invite the very presence of God. That is the reason that we can enter into a room full of believers whom we have never met before, and yet we have that wonderful sense that we have known one another for the eternal ages, because we are joined in the name of Jesus Christ. There is a communion of heart and spirit as we're gathered together in His name. This communion is expounded in the book of Acts as we read about the early church. Acts 2:42-47. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. The members of Christ's body shared in the daily task of living unto Him. The daily task. They were concerned with each other's benefit, and they worked together to meet the needs of the entire body of believers as the Lord so led. They faced trial and tribulation with one another, deprivation, starvation, harsh treatment, loss of property and life in such an intimate relationship together with Christ that the general populace took notice and responded to the testimony of God's people. Many were being added to the church despite the persecution because they were facing the wrath of this realm in the united, single stand of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:5-7. And this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. This is an important element of Christian life that the church needs to consider today. The apostle saw the very important truth of fellowship as he recounts in most of his epistles to the churches. As we read in Romans 1:11-12, "For I long to see you in order that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine." Together, encouraging one another, standing with one another. There is a vital truth of sharing in the faith of Jesus Christ, of encouraging one another into Christ and unto His glory as the focus of our lives. Ephesians 1:13-18. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. His inheritance in the saints. This fellowship together in Christ was fundamental to the ministry of Paul, as we see in Philippians 1:3-8. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. There should be a longing within us, a longing to be in the presence of God with one another. This should not be something that we have to do. This should be something that we want to do with all of our hearts, that we miss when we're not together, that fellowship with each other. This desire to be together should characterize our hearts as it characterized the Apostle Paul's heart. Listen to him as he gives such vivid declaration to this in his letters. Philippians 4:1, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, so stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I wonder how many there are of us who could look at each other as our joy and our crown. The Apostle Paul did. Colossians 1:3-4. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Not some of the saints. All the saints. And do we give thanks to God? Do we pray for each other always? As the apostle emphasizes over and over and over again. 1 Thessalonians 2:7-8. But we prove to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. Could we address each other in such a tender and gentle way? Is that in our heart for each other in Jesus Christ? It should be. The Apostle Paul is not the only apostle to have this heart after fellowship together with the saints. Peter shared this heart. 1 Peter 2:16 and 17. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the King. We are to love the brotherhood and fear God. Realize that as God so loves us, we are to love one another. The Apostle John strikes this chord over and over again as we read his letters. 1 John 3:14 through 16. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 5:2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. 2 John 5 and 6. And now I ask you, lady, not as writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. This morning, we have shared together many passages from the Word of God with the focus on the fact that we are to consider one another with love and treat one another in love, the very love with which God has loved us. It is the key to our growth into Jesus Christ. We cannot grow spiritually by ourselves. We need the fellowship of the saints in order to become that complete and perfect bride of Christ without spot or wrinkle. It is in the fellowship of the saints that we find everything that God intends to use to break apart our hearts of stone and our thoughts of impurities and selfishness and self-centeredness. And let me repeat that, because this is where it's found. It is in the fellowship of the saints that God has given us everything that is needed for our spiritual growth in Christ Jesus. It's in our dealings with each other that our hearts of stone get broken and become flesh. It's in our dealings with each other that we get rid of that selfishness and that self-centeredness that distracts from Jesus Christ. We are joined together for His purpose, not our own purposes. In light of that, we are called to give ourselves to fellowship, to seek out the manner and means of coming into an even more perfect fellowship in Jesus Christ. There is something horribly amiss that is infectiously at work within believers. It is the vile sense of self-worth and self-importance which seems to frustrate our likes and to promote our dislikes of one another. Those are the things that need to get dealt with in our hearts. This cannot be done if we run away and try to escape the work of God. When we are called into fellowship with the body of believers to whom He has joined us. In that light, we close with the well-known passage from the heart of the Apostle John, 1 John 4:6 through 12. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. So be it. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Amen.